will be forever mine.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here and in your presence this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd minister to each and every person in here. And Father, that when we leave here, we would be so encouraged, so in tune with you, Father, that Lord, each and every day we would seek you with all of our heart. And may you just bring that upon us this morning, Lord, that desire to know you more intimately, that desire to have that relationship with you. Lord, do not chase after the things of the world, but may we solely be focused on pleasing you. May your will be done now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And what I've been really thinking a lot about is the foundation. This message could go in so many different ways. I could probably preach on different facets of it for several weeks. But this is where we're going to begin at this week. Any foundation the sense of living for Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is who we have to base our firm foundation on. But Luke 6:46, it says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice." I want you to notice there, it's not just hearing his word, but it's putting it into practice. We can come week after week to church. We can hear good sermons on the radio day after day. But unless we put them into practice, verse 48, "He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck and the house struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built." I don't know why, but it made me think of the big bad wolf coming and huffing and puffing, trying to blow down the houses. I don't know why, but I thought about that old children's book or whatever, and the huffing and puffing, and you know, when the house isn't built firm, the big bad wolf come in. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. I want you to think about how many of you are hearing God's word and really actively putting it into practice in your life. I mean, I want you to think, when I hear a sermon, does it penetrate into my heart? Is there conviction? Is there revelation maybe in my life? Man, I need to change that. I need to stop doing that. I need help in that area. It's funny to me, the longer I walk with God, the things in my life that maybe a month ago or 6 months ago or a year ago didn't bother me begin to bother me now, and I have to make changes. And that's hearing God's word and him in that relationship. And I understand I need to make changes applying God's word to my life because I want my house to stand. I don't know about y'all, but I want my house to stand. Last night, them storms yesterday evening that blew through, and about 11:30 last night, it woke me up. That wind, it was loud, and I could hear it, and I was like, ooh. It woke me up out of my sleep, and I'm like, well, the roof's still here, so we're all right. Go back to sleep, you know. But when those storms come, I'm not real nervous. I'm not real scared because I've got a good house around me. But you think about that spiritually. Psalms 127:1 says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain." What's that saying? Unless your house is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ, unless God is building your foundation, your house is being built in vain. It will fail. You look around and how many homes are falling apart, children rebelling against their parents, husbands and wives divorcing, and conflict between brothers and sisters and family members, and it's destroying our homes. So when I think, what is your house built on? What is your house really built on? Now, I don't know how many of y'all see that we got Jenga set up here. And so this Jenga is representing the foundations of your life. And the older you get, the tower, like for some of y'all, the tower's way down here. For some of y'all, it might be way up here. You know, I'm not there yet, but I'm probably up here, you know. And what life throws at you, and the more that it throws at you. And so today, this Jenga represents your life. And what is going to make your life fall? And so I've asked some of y'all to come up. So if you guys will come on up, and we're going to see. And if anybody else wants to play, you're welcome to come up, okay? Because we're going to play Jenga this morning. So anybody else that would like to play is welcome to come up, okay? But before you pull out a chink, I hadn't played Jenga in a long time. It's been a long time since I played Jenga. But Hayden, was you telling me that you're supposed to only use one hand? Okay, and so, but when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about, so what will cause your house to come tumbling down? Your car breaks down. So somebody pull out a block. Is your car breaking down going to cause your house to come tumbling? Oh, he's starting off, ooh, Keaton's house may fall because his car broke down. No, Keaton did good. Okay, so the next one would be, you lose your job. Who's going for they lost their job, okay? Uh-oh. Hayden's lost his job. Everything's collapsing around him. Oh, no, he made it. Okay, the next one, the Razorbacks lose. Mike, are you feeling me? The Razorbacks lose. Is that going to cause your house to come tumbling down? You guys think that's silly, but I get upset when the Razorbacks lose, so I'm upset quite a bit. Oh, Adam, his house is going to stand. Abby? Yeah, he don't even like the Razorbacks. Your kid's thrown out at home plate, and it was a bad call. Is that going to cause you to, oh, Abby didn't fall. All right, let's keep going. What about a coworker talking bad about you? Keaton, is that going to make your house fall? Oh, all right, who's next? There's jealousy in your heart. Who's next? You're jealous of what your friends have. You're jealous of the car they're driving. You're jealous of their home. You're jealous of their family. Oh, Hayden's still standing. His house is still standing. All right, we're getting a little more serious now. We got a medical issue, Adam. Is that going to make your house fall? A medical issue. Uh-oh. Oh, all right, Abby. You lost a loved one. So many times this causes our house to fall, our foundations to tumble when we've lost a loved one, someone that we love very much. Man, these guys are good. I maybe should have picked some different guys. I'm going to run out of... You guys got firm foundations here. All right. So here's the next one. Fear of being alone. Will that cause you to compromise? Will that cause your house to crumble? So as I'm thinking about all this, y'all, so I thought, how many times do all these things add up? These things add up. Maybe all of them. Maybe just a few of them. And then all at once, you're in traffic, and someone cuts you off. And it's not that big a deal. They cut you off in traffic, but you're going through a medical issue. Your coworkers are talking bad on you. You miss that promotion. And then all at once, someone cuts you off in traffic. And what happens? And you're like, someone cut me off in traffic and I blew up like that. Someone at the ball game, a call didn't go my way and I blew up like that. And all at once, everything comes tumbling down in your life. Give them guys a hand for playing. And look at that. They're picking everything up. They're going to throw it up on here. So we're going to keep going, y'all. And I was just thinking about this, and I was thinking, how many people have you ever been around somebody and you've just seen them get angry over the littlest thing? And you're like, why did they get so mad? Why did they get so upset? But you don't know. Maybe one of these major issues, maybe they just got a cancer diagnosis. Maybe they just lost someone that they love very much. Maybe there's, you know, the job is shaky and they're about to be laid off, you know. And all at once we explode and we lose it over the dumbest things, don't we? I've done that. I've lost it over the dumbest things, like, you know, and I get so upset and I get so uptight. And I was thinking about what could cause you to compromise in your life. Maybe I didn't name what it was, but there's something else in your life, a fear, a sin, a temptation, a lust of some kind that shakes your foundation and will cause you to come tumbling down. I was thinking about Peter, and Peter, you know, was going to fight, and he says, I'll fight to the death with you, Jesus. And what did Jesus tell him? You're going to deny me three times. You're going to deny me three times. And what does Peter do? He denies Jesus. And then what happens is it goes on, and Peter's like, I'm going back to fishing. I'm going back to my old way of life. I'm going back. And then what happens? Jesus comes to him and he says, do you love me, Peter? Peter says, you know I love you, Father. He says, do you love me, Peter? He says, you know everything. You know I love you. And he asks him a third time, do you love me? You know, many of us this morning, I believe that we're looking at these scriptures and we're saying, I've got a firm foundation. I believe in Jesus. But are we practicing what we hear? Are we living it out in our day-to-day life so that when those crazy things do happen to us, we don't stumble, we don't fall? I was telling some of the men Wednesday night in a men's meeting, many of y'all don't probably know him. His name's Granger Smith, and he's a country singer. And 2019, his 3-year-old son drowned in a swimming pool. He announced this week on Monday or Tuesday that this will be his last tour. He's toured for 24 years in country music, but he's been going to taking classes and going into full-time ministry serving the Lord. And I thought, how awesome is that, that this tragedy in his life has brought him and his wife closer together, and now he's serving the Lord. So often when there's tragedy, what do? We blame God. We get angry. We run the other way. And what a testimony that he is drawing closer to the Lord. How many of us in our foundation, in our life, when we're facing these trials, when we're facing these struggles, in Deuteronomy 8, it said the Lord tested them to humble them in order to see what they were made of. When they were out in the desert wondering, what were they made of? What was coming out? Was it grumbling? Was it griping? Was it complaining? Was it, why me, Lord? It was a test. Where were they? What they were really made of? We may at different times be facing situations. And just like Peter, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? How many of us today, if God's asking you right now, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Or has your foundation been shaken? Are you blaming me? Are you angry with me? In 1 Peter chapter 5, it tells us we have an enemy. It says the enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And church, it's reality in life that Satan is roaming around looking to devour you. Why? Because if he can shake your foundation, if he can cause you to stumble and fall and collapse, it might not only destroy your life, but it can impact those around you, your friends, your family, your children, your parents, your coworkers. When they've seen you fail, they say, oh, well, see, Christianity really isn't real. They fell. They stumbled. As soon as the rains and the storms come, they caved. They acted just like me. We have an enemy prowling around, and we're going to go back to Job chapter 1, verse 9, if you guys want to open up your Bibles to there. Job 1:9. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has. You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and his herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. How many of us would do that when we're losing things, when we're having troubles, when we're having struggles? Do we curse God? Do we say, why me? Why me? Why me? This week, the last 2 weeks, y'all, it's like stuff just keeps breaking at my house. I don't know. I mean, it's just like I've been working on one thing, fix it, and something else breaks. Yesterday, I was on the fifth time of taking apart my pool pump yesterday. Got it all put back together with all the parts, and it's leaking again. So I got to take it back apart. And I was just get so frustrated. But the whole time while I'm getting frustrated, I was thinking about this sermon. I was thinking, am I going to let this shape me? Am I going to let this? And I've got to admit, I got a little grouchy yesterday messing with that stuff and trying to fix it and just, oh, another thing. And I wasn't very talkative and kind of pouting probably a little bit because I wasn't real happy. But it's like stuff keeps breaking and stuff keeps breaking. And I was talking to Stephen this morning about my truck. Now my truck, it's like I'm scared to even drive it. It's like shimmying and shaking so bad. It's like the wheel's going to fall off, you know. And oh, it's just one thing after another. But Job, the first 8 verses is talking about all he has and all that he was blessed with. And so Satan's pretty much saying, Job, you blessed him with all this. Of course he's not going to curse you. Of course he's not. The Lord said in verse 12, the Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but the man himself do not lay a finger on. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabines attacked and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on camels and carried them and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. Anybody ever feel like that? It was probably about 5-6 years ago, and about a 6-month stretch, I was getting so much bad news. I was scared to answer the phone. I'm not lying. It was just one thing after another, after another, after another. Now, I wasn't in the shape of where Job was, but I honestly, when the phone would ring at weird hours, I just could feel tense and stress welling up inside of me. Oh, is this something else? Any of you guys ever been in that situation where it's just like one thing after another, after another, after another, and you feel the weight of the world coming down on you? But it gets worse for Job. Verse 18, while he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house. It collapsed on them and they are dead. And I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. At this, Job got up and tore his robes and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and he said, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Y'all, when I read this, I've never really got emotional reading Job before. But I could imagine losing your family. I mean, how unbearable. You've lost all your wealth, all your income, all your servants, all your ability to eat. And then someone walks through the door and says, oh, by the way, your family's wiped out. I remember a story, and it just came to my mind, so I'm probably not going to tell it exactly right. This was probably 10 or 15 years ago, but this man and his wife, and it seems like there was 3, 4, 5 kids were coming back from a wedding. and his cousin's wedding, and it was in Kansas or up north somewhere, and there was a flash flood, and they didn't realize it, and they were on an interstate, but they drove straight into a raging river, and it swept the van off, and the husband was the only one that survived, his wife and all of his kids, and he washed up on the bank, and he later would, where I heard the story was on Focus on the Family, and he would recount all that, and he was just, God, why didn't you take me too? Why am I still here? There was a Christian family. They loved the Lord. And to lose his whole family just like that. Y'all, we read these stories and we think, oh, it's just a story. And we don't let them penetrate. We don't let them affect us. But I can't even imagine what he must have been facing. And then he says, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And y'all, sometimes we get so upset with a broke down car, with a lost job, with the Razorbacks losing a game. We get so upset over the stupidest things and we get angry and we compromise our testimony and we compromise our walk with God. And here this man, his whole life is destroyed, and he says, I will praise the Lord. I will praise Him no matter what. To have that faith, to have that desire that God, everything I have, You have given me. Naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I'll return. Nobody's taking anything with them. But God, I'm going to praise You no matter what. We read on. I got written in my notes here, and I thought of this myself this week, church. As things keep breaking at my house. And I was driving to work, I think it was Thursday morning, and I just said, you know, if money can fix it, it's really not a problem. If money can fix it, it's really not a problem. Because it's when you're given that diagnosis and a family member's going to be gone, or a family member's is gone, that's things that money can't fix. If money can fix it, it's really not a problem. Let's read on for Job, though, in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, On another day, the angel came to the presence themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth and going back and forth in it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil, and he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. Yeah, that's the way the other one began too, was, have you considered my servant Job? And I'm not lying, y'all, as I was reading this, and I thought, what an honor it would be for God to say, have you considered Pete? You know, have you considered Charles? Have you considered Mitzi? For God to be up there talking and naming my name, naming your name, have you considered him? But as I read all that happens to Job, I'm just going to be totally honest here. I don't think I want my name brought up. But what a bad attitude for me to have. That if I could just remain faithful no matter what. And he's lost all of his wealth. He's lost all his possessions. He's lost all of his children. And yet he remains faithful. Verse 4, skin for skin, Satan replied, a man will give all he has for his own life. But stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. He replied, You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? And all this, Job did not sin in what he said. My question to you all this morning is, what has shaken you in your life? What has caused you to compromise your walk with God? Fear, troubles, hardship, financial problems. I was seeing something on the History Channel, and it was talking about when the stock market collapsed, and it showed all these businessmen jumping out the window and committing suicide because their wealth was gone. Would you be the same? Are you so focused on your wealth and your bank account and your money that if something happens to that and that is your foundation, you think that all these things, if they're your foundation, you're gonna fail, you're gonna stumble, you're gonna fall, and you're gonna come tumbling down just like this little Jenga game. If those things are what you're basing your life on, is there anything in your life that makes you want to take the easy road, so to speak, the wide road of destruction and say, following God is just too hard? I can't do it. And has anybody ever said, God, I've served you, but yet why is all this bad happening to me? God, why haven't you answered this prayer? Why haven't you answered that prayer? Have you ever said that? Have you ever thought that? God, I lived my life for you. I was living righteously. I was doing all the things I was supposed to do, yet I'm in this situation. Or you just fill in the blank. And we question God. God, why? Job and all this, he doesn't curse God. He's even got his wife whispering in his ear, just curse God and die. Job would not curse God and he would not sin. So many of us take the easy road and we compromise what we know is right. And then we try and build our life upon it. And then when we're in another mess and another mess and another mess, we say, why? Why is the walls crumbling around me? Why do I continue to have all these trials and all these troubles? So how can you stand firm? I think we can begin with where we started in Luke chapter 6. It's doing what God's Word says. He says, put my words into practice. When you hear His Word, you put it into practice. So number one, how do you keep that firm foundation? You read the Bible. You hear good sermons. You read your devotionals. You study. And what you hear, you apply it. You apply it to your life. It's as simple as that. You apply what you're hearing to your life. You want a firm foundation? You take this Word and you base your life on it. Number two, you seek God in everything. You want a firm foundation? You want to know that you know Jesus Christ? And you seek God in everything. Matthew 6:31 says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. How many of us get so caught up in what we're going to eat and what we're going to wear and the things of this world? Our Father knows what we need. And then verse 33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We apply God's Word to our life. We seek God in everything. Seek Him. Seek His righteousness. And all these things will be given to you. Our foundations are so messed up because we're seeking after wealth. We're seeking after a guy. We're seeking after a girl. We're seeking after education. We're seeking after a trophy, an award. We're seeking after all these things. And then we're crumbling and we're falling apart. Number three. And I believe that this is very important. Having believers around you to encourage you and build you up. You notice what they all did when these pieces fell. And if we'd had more time, I'd have had to restack them. But what did everybody up here do? They picked up all the pieces, right? They picked them up. Y'all, it's so important that we are not just a church. But we're a family. That when people's lives crumble, when they have problems, when they have things, when they have situations, anybody in here have problems? We do. You have struggles, you have trials, you have things in your life that's going to hit you. You're going to lose people that you love. You're going to have financial difficulties. You're going to get upset at a little league game sometimes. You're going to be mad at the Razorback sometimes. You're going to have these silly things, and you're going to have serious things. We need to be there to pick each other's pieces up and rebuild and rebuild. And rebuild. And the Word of God says that. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore encourage one another and build each other up. Just as in fact you are doing. When was the last time you encouraged somebody here? When was the last time you encouraged somebody, period? When was the last time you come alongside somebody and just said, man, I'm just so glad you're here. Your smiling face lifts me up. Man, the way you play the drums, it just encourages me. Man, the way that you sing, it just lights up my whole week. Man, just to see the back of your head and know that you're here, I'm just glad that you're here. When was the last time that you just come along somebody beside somebody, encouraged them and thanked them for being part of your family? When was the last time you lifted somebody up? Hebrews 10:23 says, Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We're not to give up meeting together. We're to be a family. We're to be here, and we're to encourage one another, and we're to be here for one another, and we're to lift each other up. And our goal shouldn't be, as soon as the sermon's over, running out the door to get the best place at Simple Simon's or Calico County or Western Sizzlin' or wherever you're going, at Mom's house to get the best seat. Our goal shouldn't be to run out. Our goal should be that we've come here to meet together. So let us encourage one another. I can't encourage every one of you personally. That's why you're called and you're supposed to be here. We want a firm foundation. We need to be this in action, in our lives, living it out day after day, encouraging one another. Jeremy and Samantha sick this morning. Maybe it'd be nice for someone to text them and say, hey, we sure did miss y'all today. We love you. And Samantha, you do such a great job with the kids. When was the last time some of y'all that's got children in children's church, you just come alongside Samantha and said, I love you, and I'm so appreciate you and what and the work you're doing? I mean, it's those things. And now everybody's going to text somebody and they're going to go, oh, it's just because Pete said it. No, it's okay. It's just because I said it. You do it anyway, and you get in the habit of doing it because that's what we should already be doing. Finishing up right here. 2 Timothy 4:5-8. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharging all your duties of ministry. You see what that's saying? Keep your head in all situations, enduring hardship. We're going to face hardship. He says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. Our firm foundation, it's applying God's Word to our life. It's seeking God with everything we are. It's having believers around us to help build us up when we fall, when we stumble. And it's knowing that you're going to face difficulties, that you're going to face hard times in and out of church, but you're going to fight the good fight and you're going to finish the race. And that crown of glory that's awaiting for us, it says it will be awarded to Him. It's not only for Him, but it's also for all who long for His appearing. Some of y'all's had a terrible rough road. Some of y'all's had a more smooth and easy road, but all of us, we face difficulties, we face trials. Are you going to let those little things cause you to collapse? Or are you going to be built upon the rock of Jesus Christ and not fall? Let's stand. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us this morning. If there's some here that's maybe been compromising in their life, maybe they've come to a point that it just seems like struggles and trials and problems that they're walking away from you. Maybe they're not physically walking away, but in their heart they're abandoning you and your ways. Lord, I pray for conviction right now in their life, Lord, that they would come before you and repent and ask for forgiveness, Lord, and come back to you. And Lord, knowing that even when the road's hard, even when the road's tough, even when there's struggles, Father, that we won't waver, that we won't compromise, that we will continue to seek you. Father, that our homes and our lives may not collapse. Lord Jesus, for some that's right in the middle of the storm right now, I pray that just as when Peter cried out when he was sinking, you immediately reached down and pulled him up. Lord, that right now as they're crying out, that you would reach down and pull them up. Set them back on solid ground. May your will be done with every heart, with every life here. And may we truly begin to apply your word to our everyday lives. Thank you for all you're doing and all that you're going to do. Pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer this morning, the altars are open.
As the deep panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield.
I remember hearing that Rockefeller was asked, how much is enough as far as his wealth? He's the richest man in the world. And he said, just a little more. Just a little more. Solomon, you remember, had wealth beyond wealth and hundreds of wives. He said, I denied myself nothing. And in the end, I found out it was all meaningless. If you're trying to build your life on anything other than Jesus Christ, in the end, it's all going to be meaningless and it's going to collapse. Remember Job in 42:12, it says, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. Job never cursed God. He never wavered in his faith. And you can go and read Job, all that he was blessed with at the end of his life. More wealth, more children, more grandchildren. He refused to compromise. And God blessed him for that. Make sure you know where your foundation is and that it's firm in Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ.